Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for Don and Nicole for joining us tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to see you work through me if you would just move me out of the way. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us through your word, through your guidance, and through the way that only you can teach. And as long as your service stays out the way, Lord, it'll be truth because it is your word. Fill me with the Spirit, that your Spirit may teach others through me. And that, Lord, you will be glorified to bring glory to the Father. In your Son's most holy, precious, Lord's name, we all say.
Amen.
Amen. Now, is someone else here tonight? Now, did I recognize someone else that hadn't been here before?
I brought a friend. I got a friend in me.
Is your name Woody? On Toy Story. I got a friend in me. We're so excited that you have a friend and that you brought the friend. So if this is your first night, guess what does he have to do?
Stand up and tap.
And tap. And if it's great or bad, you're going to have to pay. All right, my man. Can we say hello?
Hello.
Oh, and we pretend like we got to pretend like we like him the first time. Okay, now, let me tell you about what now. Where were we? Bear Man. Talk about these young ladies and how they was answering my question reminded me of my neighborhood growing up. Now, it was so bad that at the time I was a young boy, there was no black policeman. Okay? All policemen was white. And because all policemen was white, to come in the black neighborhood after dark was unknown. If someone got killed or hurt in my neighborhood, TC knows about where I grew up. And then they would come in the next morning after light to pick up the body. I mean, that's the way it was. My aunt was so bad. I tell you about my aunt, Aunt May. My Aunt May was so bad, she ran that local liquor house. I led all my family after I became a Christian. I led all of them to the Lord. But this is what happened, the kind of stuff. My Aunt May was so bad that she, this is no exaggeration, all right? So you gotta get this. My aunt decided she liked this guy in the neighborhood who was married. So she went and took him from his wife. Took him. Brought him over to her house and said, "You're gonna stay with me." The lady came and told her, "You can't do that." My aunt beat her up, ran her home. She ran home, got in the house. And you guys remember those old straight razors they used to use in the barber shop? I mean the straight razors. We're not talking about the little Gillette, the long lit that lets you bleed real easy, all right? She ran in the house. The lady got that razor, opens up and said, "You coming close to me, I'm going to cut you." My aunt said, "You better cut me because I'm coming close because I want your man. And I'm going to have your man, and don't you talk back to me." And commenced to beat that lady up some more in her own house. And the lady took that razor and sliced my aunt across the face, around underneath the neck, and just laid it open and bleeded. She beat the lady up, took the razor from her, and came back home. No one went to the hospital because you could be down there for 2 or 3 days. Because they wouldn't wait on black people. The only reason they would wait on you in my neighborhood when I was growing up is if there was no white people in the doctor's office. So you could go down on Monday, be there all day, and if the doctor didn't get a break from white patients, you would come back the next day until they could wait on you. So I remember being sick and going to the doctor three or four days before someone would see you. So black people just didn't go to the doctor because you wouldn't get waited on. She came home, blood everywhere. My grandmother telling the mayor, "I told you to leave that man alone. I told you quit selling this alcohol." She goes, "Oh, come on, Lucille, go sit down somewhere. I'm all right." Goes and take kerosene. Now, listen to this. My aunt took kerosene, took a needle, regular needle, and black thread, soaked it in that kerosene, then took the kerosene and poured it on her neck and her face, and then sewed her own neck up in the mirror with that black thread and tied it off. Now, that's my aunt. Now, that's bad mess, all right? And that's no exaggeration. That happened. She had a, you know how the big whelps come up when you don't take care of cuts, right? For the rest of her life, she had this huge thing on her face and her neck from that slice. But that was the neighborhood I grew up in, so you can imagine people threatening me. You can laugh at that. Yes, ma'am. You stay with my aunt till she got tired of it. You have a woman that'll sew her neck up with some thread. You gonna say no? What's wrong with folks? That's a white aunt. That was a white question. Did you notice that? What happened to the man? Brothers and sisters would have said, we know where he was. See, that's culture difference right there. Now, so we was as a little boy, I probably was five, six years old, and I saw a man get killed right outside my door with a rock. We call it an attic pistol. That's half full of red jagged brick. The guy was coming up on him, going to cut him. He said, if you take another step, I'm going to kill you. I'll kill you with this rock. He said, you better kill me. And I'm standing right there on the porch looking at it, 5-6 yards away. And he drew back and bam, killed that guy dead as a doorknob right there next to my house. And the police didn't come down until the next day. I mean, they would not come in our neighborhood. That's how bad it was. So, Anniston, Alabama, my man. Anniston, Alabama. That's why I was a mean motor scooter before I came to Christ. I would hurt you quick. It was Jesus saved a lot of people by saving me. Now, what happened was when we was all on the corner one night, I was standing a little boy with my uncle. I'll never forget. Same kind of answer. And the police, it was getting dark, so they would come in right before dark. They'd come in the evening, drive through, and then they would leave, and they would come back the next day in the morning. Well, it was getting evening, we was all standing on the corner. My uncle, his best friend, a bunch of other guys, and I'm standing there, and I'm getting old. It's getting dark. I know Mom's going to call me pretty soon. The police pulls up, and he looks over at my uncle and says, what do you do? He says, I don't do nothing. He said, what? He said, I don't do nothing. The police said, you his friend? Yep. So what do you do? He said, I help him. So that reminded me. We got a couple of real smarties. But that was the neighborhood I grew up in, and the football was a relief for me. I was a better baseball player than I was a football player. But you could hear white people legal in football, and everyone thought you was great. So that's why I started.
The only time that racism didn't exist before.
That's it. That when I walked on the field,
separate Welvin.
Nobody was safe at Welvin.
It
was so. Yeah, Welvin was so bad. We would go, and it was always two games, one during the game and one after the game. There was a call on if you're gonna win both or lose both. That was the game. We would fight our way on the field. And we would fight our way to the bus and out of town. That was Walter Weber. I mean, that was just the way it was.
They would call you, wave that rebel flag. Our tailback was killed third quarter. Ambulance got there some like 30 minutes after the game.
They weren't going to come in there. They were just
that one death stopped all the races.
Yeah, but remember when the guy, we was going to the game, guy got lost trying to get to the game, pull up to a gas station.
Oh,
and the guy says, fill it up, I'm lost. He goes, no problem. He walked up to the window, stuck the gas inside the car, turn it on, try to throw a match at. Now, this is my neighborhood, folks. This, when you're talking about prejudice, and when someone tells me how prejudiced they are and still a Christian, it's a lie. Because what God has done for me in my life and our family, and then now God takes all that hatred I had and puts me where? In a predominantly white church, marrying a predominantly white woman. Now that is a life change right there. And that's where we got, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay? All right. Now, let's bring the new people up to par. How important is the word? All important. You guys got to remember, it's all important. Now, how important is it knowing the Trinity? All important. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Remember, those of you that are just here for the first time tonight, we're talking about the whole picture of how the Bible works. All right? If you can follow through on this class and what we're doing in this class, you're going to get a complete picture of how the Bible works. God's entire plan from beginning to end. Now, how do we know What is the only thing that we can know is true about God? What God said is true. Where do we find what God has said is true about him? In the Bible, the scriptures. If we go anywhere else and quote anything other than the scripture, what have we just done? We've created idolatry. Man cannot dictate what is true about God. That's why the Bible is so important. If you try to dictate what is true about God without God saying it, because everything about God is brand new. Anything that you and I come up with always is a conglomerate or a mixture of old things that we have seen or we have heard. It is almost impossible for you and I, our mind is limited to the world of what we see, to come up with that which we have seen or heard. And every new aspect of knowledge that we get is always based upon old knowledge that we've studied to come up with something new. So it's never new from man's mind. You got to understand that. So anything we build, like monsters, if we want to build a monster, a brand new monster, we want to draw a picture of a brand new monster, put it in our mind, a brand new monster, what will we do to create a new monster? Parts of old ones. Parts of old ones. We'll come up with that which we already know, we've already heard, and we've already talked about. Nothing is new under the sun when it comes to you and I. God was absolutely, to the human mind, brand new. It was totally outside of what man could come with in his life. Remember us talking about the difference between man's knowledge and God's knowledge? Very important. All right. Compare, and we're being very generous when we do this. That dot, what does that dot represent? All of man's knowledge. What does this board represent? What does all this board represent? All knowledge. There's a lot outside of man's knowledge that can never be known about God unless he reveals it. Because if we try to come to start understanding that which is outside of man's knowledge, the best thing we can come up with is what? Idolatry. So how important is the Word of God? All important. So we started off studying the scriptures, the word. God breathed. God's breathing, God inspired, 1 Timothy 3:16, we talked about. He took dirt, breathed into it, and made life. And the breath of God into Adam as on a page, the word of God on the page. That's why the Bible is living. That is the most fantastic thing about what God said on the word, is God became the word. Word Jesus, not only in flesh, not only God in a bod, but God on a page, the Word, alive. God chose to speak to us how? By the Word. What's the most effective way of communicating between human beings? Words. Do you understand that every aspect of the English language, regardless how complicated or how simple, comes from 26 letters? That's it. Doesn't matter if you're writing a thesis or the heaviest of the heavy, or you're writing Run, Jack, Run, because that brother's going to beat you to death. Very simple if you're coming through bareback. You see what I'm saying? Very simple. It's all written with what?
Letters.
26 letters. Everything about life comes from not 26 letters, but three personalities. Called the Trinity. And every relationship that we deal with is built upon the relationship of God to God. So how important is it for us to understand the Trinity as it has been revealed? All important. The only way we can learn about God is through his word, and he who has the role to teach us his word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, remember again in the triangle, you got to keep a picture. Those of you that are new tonight, I want you to picture in your mind a triangle. The top of that triangle, the apex, is God the Father. On the right side, as I'm looking away from you, left side, if I was facing, is God the Son, Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit is third. Now we have established something that all relationships must be based off of, and that is essence and roles. Correct? God in his essence is all the what? They're all equal and the same. But when it comes to roles, there is authority and submission. And then we went through the authority verses and we went through role verses. If you get role verses mixed up with authority or essence verses, you make the Bible contradict itself. Okay? Very important. A lot of people say, I don't believe the Bible because it contradicts. It seems like it would contradict if you make an essence verse a role verse, or vice versa. You make a roles verse an essence verse, the Bible can contradict itself. Or you can take a half-truth and make it a whole lie. That's what happens a lot of time with people who teach the Bible. They take the Bible, take parts of it, and leave the other parts out, and you can make the Bible say whatever you want by taking verses out of context. You must take verses in context. What's said before, what's said after, what chapter's in, what book is in, what testament is in, is the only way. When you relate to all those things, it will make sense. Now, let's say, for instance, most people say, I don't understand the Bible. What if I wrote you a letter? Now, you really got to use your imagination on that one. Okay? You really got to use imagination if I write you a letter. But if I did write you a letter, a 10-page letter, okay? That's I want you to use your imagination, baby. I want you to exercise. Because you'll never get a 10-page letter from me. You understand? My letters are very short. I'm through with you. You know, we're still friends. You know what I mean? It's like the average guy in relationships. We're going to be talking about that in relationship class. Guy says, I love you. First day he meets you, take it for granted, ladies. If he changes his mind, he'll let you know 10 or 15 years. Other than that, he loves you. You know what I'm saying? Where a woman wants to hear how many times? All day, every day, night, morning, between times. Even when you don't say it, when you just finished saying it, you need to say it again. Just let her know that you meant what you said before you said it. And then you got to be told, I'm going to say it again. It's coming. I know it is. I love you. Oh, you didn't say that right. But a man, he says, I love you. Take it to the bank. God isn't that way. I give you that letter, 10 pages. You get that letter, you're excited. The pastor's written me a letter. He wrote me a letter. So you go to the first page, the first word, first letter, start reading. Oh, no. You know what you do? If you read that letter like you read the Bible, you go to the fifth page, third paragraph, 13th word, fifth sentence, and then start reading and say, this don't make sense. How would you read a letter? Beginning to end. Then you can understand something that's said on the third, fourth, fifth page, third, fourth paragraph, fifth word in the sentence in that third paragraph. Because you what? You take it in this totality. So what we're doing tonight is we're bringing you, and the whole evening in this whole class, we're bringing you to totality of beginning to end, so that when you get something in the middle, you can know where it fits as you have seen the total picture through this class. Are we smoking? You know what I'm saying? And if something seems to contradict something in the Bible, you can always know that you have read it wrong. That is such a piece to come to that conclusion. If something seems to contradict something else in the Bible, you can know for a fact you read it wrong. Thus, you have to back up and continue to read it right. You got to take it in the testament it's in. You got to take it in the book it's in. You got to take it in the chapter it's in. You got to take it with the verses it's with, and then you got to take the verse itself. And that way you can never be out of context. Are we rolling? Okay. Jeremy, you're not confused. Okay, you with me, baby. All right. You know, you missed last week, so I want to make sure I brought you in, man. You know, hooked you back in, man. It would have been a lot better, man, if you had a tape from last week, man. You know, it would have been a lot better. You know, but, you know, free help is cheap. Some of y'all get that on the way home, you know what I'm saying? That pastor put a heavy on you. Yes, ma'am.
On the road.
On the road.
You got the essence, the authority, and the role, right?
Yeah, but they don't go together. So what are you asking?
Break down the road for me.
Okay. Now we have the essence. We dealt with the essence. They're all equal. Man and woman, in essence, is equal. There's no difference. Right? So, if you take a verse that says there's neither Greek, nor Jew, nor Gentile, nor woman, nor man, nor free, nor slave, that's a essence verse. But if you try to make that same verse say, in the church there are men who lead, women submit, if you go back and say, no, I don't like that verse. I like this verse. And if it means that we're all equal, why can't I hold that position as a woman? Because this verse says I'm equal to you. What did you just do? You took an essence verse and tried to fit role. Now, when we look at it, it's kind of like real simple. You say, well, I don't like that submission stuff. It doesn't matter. God didn't ask your opinion. Right or wrong.
Right.
He didn't call me and say, Hutch, what do you think about this? He didn't call any of you and say, yo, because, you know, if he called us, he would use some vernacular the day.
Yo.
He'd say, broski, I want you to check out this. What do you think about this? Did he do that?
No.
Now, there's one man that tried that mess. Job. His name used to be Job till God got through with it. Job. God asked Job, there were 73 question marks when God got through, because Job kept saying, I didn't do nothing wrong, 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 which he did. His three friends, Bildad, the Shuhite, one of the smallest men in the Bible, and some people get it on the way home. You gotta be quick, man. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. You gotta stay with it. Who was the other two smaller men in the Bible? We got Bildad the Shuhite. Little bitty duty. I always run away from people because they go, probably gonna get stepped on. Who are the other two guys? Short guys. Well, there's three of them. Real short guy. No, that's a kid. No, he was much taller than these other two guys. Okay. We got Nehemiah. And we got the Roman God that slept on his watch. Three small people, you know what I'm saying? Alright, so y'all don't forget that. I just threw that in. So, oh, she's gone. Alright? So when we look at the whole aspect of what the Bible is bringing us to, and to understand to see the full picture of what God wants, you cannot go in and pick something out in that third, fifth, tenth page, and then all of a sudden say, it don't matter. And back to what the role and essence. You cannot separate God's word wrongly. If you do, you think it contradicts itself. Okay, we got a bro here to drive, race his cars. All right? Now, what is the complication of someone getting out on that track that do not know the rules of racing? Can that be a pile up? He said. And it's simple because there's some guy that can even know the rules, but they don't know and have the skills to drive that fast. Is any one of those guys good to be on the track? No. There's some people that can understand Scripture, but don't have the rules behind Scripture, and they mess it up as a wreck. Especially when they try to teach you what it says when they don't know the rules and the law behind it. What's the best way to study the Bible? Read it. Read it. No better way. And now, if you're going to read it, what should you do before you try to read it? Pray. What do we pray? Ask God to forgive us our sin and have the Spirit to control us while we get in, because that's His role. We're back to essence and role again. Okay? The Holy Spirit's role is to teach you about God, the Word that's on the page. And when you try to study the Bible without being controlled by God's Spirit, it don't make sense to you. Or how many times have you been, you read a verse over and over and over again, many times, and all of a sudden you read it and it just, bam, it just speaks to you. Because you're ready. The Holy Spirit knows you're ready. That's why we get the whole doctrine of people saying, well, the Bible, whatever it says to you, that's truth to you. Dangerous. Because there's a lot of people that got indigestion. And they think the Bible's speaking to them. Alright? So it's important. How important is understanding the Holy Spirit as we walk with Christ? All important. You cannot walk with God if you're not controlled by a spirit, because the Christian life becomes more of a burden than a blessing, because you're trying to live it on your own, and you can get more and more frustrated the harder you get. Can you imagine, ladies, you can understand this. Guys don't understand. I don't hear no rebuttals. Really surprised. You're trying to get a guy to like you who does not like you, who will never like you, and could care less that you are alive. How frustrating is that? It's all frustrating. Can we get an amen somewhere in here? How about an A woman? Well, that's worth an A woman right there. And you know what I'm saying? A couple of guys don't even know that women like them half the time. They don't have the slightest idea. Women know when other women like somebody 3 weeks before the other woman know they like them. I see the way you look at him. And the guy's in, out there in oblivion somewhere, buying a spark plug. Alright? So, can you imagine trying to study the Word of God is like trying to get the Word to feel you and love you. It's equal. Without the Holy Spirit, it's equal to a woman trying to get a guy to care about her that don't even know they exist. You know how impossible it is to understand the Word of God without a Bible? It is more possible to find a black cat in a dark room at midnight wearing dark glasses that isn't there in the room as you search for him. Does that help? Okay, let's break it down. That was too heavy for this side of the track. Let's slow it down a little bit. It's like flying a B-52 bomber to the Panama Canal backwards at midnight. Impossible-ony? Or am I speaking a lot of baloney? It's impossible to get in the Word of God without being controlled by the Spirit of God. And you know how many Christians, you know how many times you and I would just jump in the Bible and start trying to study it and read it without confessing our sin, making sure we're controlled by God's Spirit, so that there's nothing between God's Spirit to take His role and to teach you what God has said in His Word? Very seldom do we slow down enough before we get in the Word and try to do that. So to the world, He convicts of sin. He convicts of righteousness. He convicts of judgment. Now we're here to the relationship to the believer. Is that where we stopped? We didn't get into any of it. We went to baptizing? All right. See? That's why it takes many to get good wisdom. Did we go any further than this? Did we even start? No. And then others said, yes, we did. Okay, we talked about regenerates. Titus 3:5. We talked about that last week. The Holy Spirit, when He comes into you and I, His role is to regenerate you and I. Make us afresh, make us new, make us open to hearing and obeying the Word of God. The major difference, did I tell you guys, give you the example in this class about the Trinity? About God the Son? Hutch the Son? Hutch the Husband? Hutch the Father? Okay, then you multiply that to be God. I can only take on one role at a time, but if I had the ability of God, if I was God, I could be Hutch the Son to my parents all the time, but at the same time be Hutch the Husband to my wife, and at the same time be Hutch the Father to my children without ever doing anything separate, yet never being the same, always having that role and not bouncing from one to the other. And that's the closest thing I can come to about talking about the Trinity, and at the same time is still what? Idolatry. Why is it still idolatry? No. But I could. Then it's blasphemy. No. Why? I didn't call myself God. It's my example. It's not God's example. And regardless of how good or bad it is, it all equals to idolatry because I'm coming up with old ideas to explain that which is unexplainable. Help us? Okay. What does this regenerate? When the Holy Spirit moves inside of us, for someone to say, remember we're talking about how much God changed me and my prejudice? One of the things he did was what? He regenerated me. People say, man, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm just from the old school. You know what you tell them? It's time to graduate. Can we have an amen somewhere in this house? You know, you can't hold on. If you to hold on to your old ways as a Christian, the Holy Spirit moves in, because it's going to convict you of the wrong. It's for you to openly rebel. Because it says he wants to regenerate you. He wants to take that mind. Many people say, well, man, I had a hard time not drinking anymore. I had a hard time, anything I wanted to stop. I don't have a hard time with my sexual habits. I have a hard time. No. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to regenerate you. Do I have to just quit drinking because I'm a pastor? No, I have been changed so much that God gives me a new desire. I like to drink the Spirit. Not the spirits. And I don't need a tag from the government for me to get spiritually high. Should have an amen somewhere. See, he can move new desires on you. That's his job, to regenerate you. And then when you struggle with old sins and things, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility where you are allowing it to control you, to convict you of an unregenerate thinking. That's his role. And guess what? Will the Holy Spirit ever get out of his role? No. Will the Holy Spirit ever let you get him out of his role? No. And you can pretend like you don't hear it. I don't hear you. Okay, I got it. See, Holy Spirit said you can run all you want, but he's a long-distance runner. And by the time you get there, he's sitting there waiting. He's rested already. And said, you want to go again? You're going to give it up. Why? Because what's his role? Regenerate. All right. Baptize. The reason why I'm doing this, guys, all over again is because of what?
There's no tape
from last week. So I got to redo it all over again. Thank you. Baptizes. Okay, now I remember this because we said we got to discuss those, didn't we? The differences. Baptizes, the Holy Spirit baptizes. That's not anything to do with water baptism when the Holy Spirit baptizes you. Did we go to John and we talked about the difference between water, being born of water, and being born of the Spirit? Well, many churches that they call themselves baptism regeneration churches. And what that means is, you don't become a Christian until you are baptized by water. And they'll use that chapter of John, chapter 3, to try to prove that you got to be born of water and spirit. But it's backwards, right? If you want to talk about water baptism, you got to be baptized by the Spirit first. You're born of the Spirit and being water, if it was going to say it correct. But it says you're born of water and spirit. So we decided last week that the water is what? What happened to a woman just before she has a baby? Water break. It means physical fleshly birth. It's kind of hard to be born again if you hadn't been born the first time. Can I get an amen somewhere? You know what I'm saying? This is heavy duty theology here, and I know you guys are just enjoying it. Of course, again, it's kind of like it's very hard to have another butter, peanut butter sandwich cooking, if you hadn't had the first nut butter, peanut butter sandwich cooking. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have the first nut butter, peanut butter sandwich cookie, in order to have the second, which is the other nut butter, peanut butter sandwich cookie. Somebody write this up.
It's on tape.
We got it on tape this time. All right. So he baptizes us. Now, this is very important. Have you ever checked in the Old Testament? Can you tell me from day one, who did God always bless, even though Jewish tradition says it goes to the first son? blessing throughout Jewish history ended up going to the second born. Even with the twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn, right? And then Jacob came along and got, and he was wrestling with the angels. Check this out. This is double neck. This is a gospel story to the max. Not everyone gets this in this class. How many times have I done this class? Umpteen. That's a lot in this side of the track. Brothers would have understood that the first time I said umpteen. You caught that. You see, he says Esau was born first. Jacob was born second. Jacob's name means swindler. Means trickster. So he came along and Esau was hungry. So he tricked his brother out of the birthright because he was the firstborn of the twins. He was supposed to go to him. He said, I gave you some food. Jacob was a mama's boy. Esau was a man's man. Boy had so much hair on it, in order for him to fool his dad, Jacob killed a lamb, took the skin, and wrapped it on his arm. So his dad could fit. That boy was hairy. Can anybody say amen to what the pastor's saying? And he tricked his dad into blessing who? The second son. Firstborn never gets the blessing. Secondborn gets the blessing. Why? Because it was a symbol of the New Testament that you're born first. The first time you're born in the flesh, you don't get the blessing. You must be second born to be blessed. Alright? That's in the baptized. Alright? Any questions before I move on with the second birth stuff? Are you confused, or did that happen to you? Did you get it? Double nasty. And how did Jacob, even though he was second born and got the blessing, when did he get the blessing? When he got his second birth. And that's when he confessed. The angel of him was fighting. First fixed fight in the world with Jacob and an angel. Oh, all right, I'm going to tell you something. The angel said, oh, don't. The angel go, let me go. But what was he really saying? You better fight, boy. Don't turn loose until you confess who you are. Huh? They were struggling. Because one angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night and didn't break a sweat. I know he could whoop up on a mama's boy. Amen. So he says, let me go, let me go. He said, no. Not until you bless me. He said, let me go. He said, not until what? Not until you bless me. And the angel was saying, hold on, boy, if you can confess who you are, then I bless you. And he says, who is it? What's your name? And he finally confessed. When he called himself Jacob, he didn't call himself Jacob. He confessed who he was and what he was. I'm a sinner. I'm a swindler. I'm a cheat. And the angel said, oh, now that you confess that who you are, your name. And he changed his name to Israel. And then the angel said, just to give you something to remember me by so you don't get the big head. If you wrestle with an angel, I'm going to touch your hip and you're going to limp like Marsha Dillon Justin for the rest of your life. And now if the angel wanted to get away, he just every way he touched him, he could have crippled him. It would have been like this. Fight would have been over. Big fight. All because he wanted to bless him on the second blessing. So everyone got it? What is the blessing in your life? First birth or second birth? Second birth. How important is for you to know it's the second birth that's blessed? All important. Yes, ma'am. Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was who? Abraham, which son? Abraham's first son. Who got the blessing? Abraham's second son. Isaac. All the way through the Bible. All the way to Joseph, who was taken down to Israel with Manasseh and what was the other brother's name? The second one got the blessing. Oh, this was sweet. Jacob tried to mess with his dad, man. He says he brought his son up and he put the oldest son on the right hand of dad and the second born son on the left hand because he wanted his first son. All history, the second son had always been blessed. So the dad was supposed to reach out And then whatever the right hand touched was the one who got the blessing. So God fixed up Jacob's dad. They wouldn't know who Jacob's dad was. Joseph. Who was Joseph's dad? Isaac. How many sons did he have? Had to have 12, right? Then what did he do? What did he do? He's sitting there, he's old, getting ready to die. He wanted his son to bless him. He does this. He crossed his hands to bless the boys. Second boy got the blessing. God made him do it because he was trying to fool his dad. Yeah. Right. His messenger. It's his messenger. Because he didn't fall down and worship him, did he? You always know whether it's God or an angel of the Lord, by whether it receives worship or not. That's the only way you can tell. He was wrestling. Now, suppose I come and I witness to you. Now, understand how the Bible explains things, especially the Old Testament. I come and I'm witnessing to you. And you and I are going back and forth discussing it. Are you wrestling with me? Seems like you're wrestling with me. But who are you really fighting? To accept or not accept? God. I'm just a messenger. So the fight was against God, not the angel. That's why it's hard, man. You have to watch out for the scriptures. Who you're talking about right there? Read the take it in context, read the whole thing. Gideon says the same thing about the angel. He sees the messenger of God. Hagar says the same thing. But we know it's not God because he did not receive worship. That's the only thing that keeps us. We've got to be consistent with what? The scriptures. And then being a messenger, the angel never would have said it's about me. The angel says, I'm here because of God. You're dealing with God. That's how we have to understand that. All right? We got baptizers? If you remember, for a while, he thought it was his brother. Because he thought his brother wanted to kill him. Of the believer, he indwells. When does the Holy Spirit take residence? When you accept him. When you accept him. He moves in, he indwells. When, how often does he move in?
Once.
Once when? When you accept him. Now, we see that he baptizes us. When he baptizes us, he immediately indwells us. Let's look at, I don't think we read this. Did we read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20? Okay. Let's do, someone look up 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 for me. We'll do that. All right, bro. And we'll look up Ephesians 1, 13. You got that? Elvis Shocker. All right. And also, well, I want you to read chapter 4, verse 30. How's that? Yeah, when we get there. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Read that real loud for me, bro.
Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
Well, you mean to tell me he moves in? If the Holy Spirit moves in, what can make him move out? The only thing that make him move out is God, and God said he'll never do it. So once you become a Christian, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, what happens? You're stuck. That's part of the contract. That's going to be very important for you to understand that when we start talking about future events, judgment, and eternal life. Okay? Very important for you to understand that. So what is the indwelling? When the Holy Spirit baptizes you, regenerates you, gives you the ability to regenerate, it's the ability to live a life now that pleases God when you didn't have that before you accepted it. Okay? Very important. Now, let's talk about the seals. What does it mean to be sealed? What's that? Branded? What's that? Like a king seal. What is the king seal? Anyone know what happened when Jesus was crucified and put in the tomb? They sealed the rock. They sealed it with the Roman seal. It was meant death to break it. But what do you do when a dead man breaks it? That's why they didn't know what to do with Jesus. He's already dead and he breaks the seal. Seal signifies permanency. So when the Holy Spirit seals you to Christ, what has happened to you? Forever. Forever. We're going to look at that when we start talking about salvation here in next week or so. It's real important for you to understand that. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the differences. Ephesians 5:18, who will read that for me? If you're going to spend, what, we got 20 minutes? 25 minutes? And we'll spend that time talking about prayer and how the Holy Spirit helps you and how you are to pray and who you are to pray to. Okay? Very important. Ephesians 5:18, who has that? Okay, Matthew, read that real loud. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me give you what God is saying in this verse. Very important for you and I to understand. Anything, what's another word for fill? What's that? Yeah, what's another word for fill? Not P-H-I-L. Consume, you said consume. Or like occupy. What's another word for someone who occupies a country? They control it. Okay? It controls. The Holy Spirit, when you allow it to fill you, can control you, your actions, and what you do. The minute you get out from under control of the Holy Spirit, the flesh is in control. You got one or two choices as a Christian. You either let the Holy Spirit control you, or you let the flesh control you. Let me tell you a little story. Several years ago, in my early B, well, I wasn't BC because I was a Christian at the time, so it was AD, in the year of my Lord time. I was up at Crossroads. You know what Crossroads? Up in the Crossroads area, right by, right now there is a Red Robin. And then Sears, where America shop. Across the street is Fred Meyer. Oh, you remember that? In that area. I was working for Westminster at the time. And it was a time when the movie Walking Tall, Mr. Buser. Who's Buser? Buford Buser. True story. True story, that guy. They had a big stick. Remember that? Big. I mean, he walked around with a big stick. So, I had a big stick in the back of my 4x. Because I was dealing with high school kids at the time. I used to tell kids, you get out of line, your stick don't look like a toothpick when I get through with you. And you will obey God, if nothing else, out of fear. But it was just a prop. So one day I was coming out of Sears. Well, they fixed the road. I don't know if you guys can remember on 148 when there was a middle turn lane. And if you come out of Sears and take a left, you was coming out of Fred Meyer and take a left, you end up in the same lane. Because it was just that center lane down the middle of those, it was five lanes. So I was coming out of Sears. And I come out and get ready to drive, and this white guy, very important for you to understand that, was coming out of
Fred Meyer.
Fred Meyer. And we both started turning and ended up in the
middle lane.
And I stopped, and he just flew off the handle, shot me the finger and called me nigger when he went by. You stupid nigger, I can't believe you drove him by. Now, I have an opportunity. Amen? I have an opportunity to either have the Holy Spirit fill me, control me, and for me to say, now that person was certainly not under control of the Spirit. And I need to pray for him. Now, as a Christian, and I'm a pastor of high school students at the time, as I'm turning, he drives by, stops, yells, rolls down his window, commits to give me the finger wave, and call me a stupid nigga as he go by. Thus, at that particular time, without having the ability to be in the Word of God, prayed up, and filled with the Holy Spirit, I was filled with the flesh. Anybody know what I'm about to tell you what's going to happen? So he drives by, and the light, that's at that big old intersection there as you come off 520. Stops and he gets locked. And there's no light right there in front of Sears. This is where they put that light in. And the only thing it is the sidewalk, grass, parking lot. I'm in a 4x4. So all the traffic's coming by. I can't get up there on it. So I drive up across the sidewalk, up through the grass. Flying up the Sears parking lot, right where Red Robin is, where the light catches, turn the car, and he looks over, and here's this big old black 4x4, come up on the grass, park, he just, here he is at the light, and I just come right across and just park me like I was going to run over. He's like this, and I jump out the truck and grab my stick and start walking up to the car. At that time, the Spirit fills me. And he says, leader of high schoolers, what are you doing? And the first thing you want to do is shut him down for about five more minutes. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, he sees me coming, he goes, he locks all the doors, and he rolls the windows up, and he's looking straight, he won't look over at me, right? And I'm between him, my truck, and all the world to see, with this stick standing looking at it like this. And I go, Lord, what am I doing? So I lean down and holler through the window. You better be glad I'm a Christian. I will be all beat your car, your windows until I can pull you out of here. But God save your soul today. Now, how quick is it to get out of being filled? One thought, one action. How quick is it to get back under the control? One quick thought. What are you doing? That white guy called me nigger, Lord. You know what that means. Oh, my spirit isn't enough to override that? Negro?
No.
Put my stick back in the truck. Cranked it up. Bang, whack, 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 whack. Now, question. What's the difference between indwells, feels, and baptizes? Seals is a good one, better one. They're all three different. Seals, feels, and indwells. What's the difference?
Seals forever.
Seals is once and it's forever. Seal, come and go all the time, so you got to confess and ask him to control you. That is consistent. That is, how many times? Oh, excuse me. Hope that's not on tape. I'm a frog. sound like Kermit. Got to get that tape, boy. How many times you ask for the Spirit to control you? All day long, one thought after another. First time you get to learn how to be controlled by God's Spirit, you may have to ask Him to feed you for 50 times the first hour. Yes, ma'am?
Can you ask the Spirit to control somebody else?
No. Well, you can, but He's going to last. Lord, all them other people out there, just get them, just control them, have them cut their cars off and pull on the side. Let me get them. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying to let her out. Someone else may want to listen to this tape. No, the Holy Spirit is convicting. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to convict someone else so they can ask the Spirit to control it. But it is an individual relationship between you and the Spirit. So feel is constantly, all the time, you ask Him to indwell you when you're asking this once. So indwelling is, how many times? Once. And what does it mean to be indwelled? To move in. Move in. To stay. Like you know, like relatives, baby. They move in and they never go. I still got my stick. Yes. Because that's what he does. He convicts you. And what did I do? I listened, I stopped, and got back under control. That's his job. You got your hand. No way. No. You didn't see that in me up there with at Overlake Shopping Center, did it? You know why the flesh? Now, let me see if I can explain to you. So indwell means he moves in permanently. Seals mean once he moves in, you are right in the sight of God in heaven. Positionally, he wants to now line up how you live the way you are positionally and the way you line up. How you live and positionally is make sure you feel or you control. Feel me with your spirit. Control me with your spirit is what you're asking. Okay? Let me see if I can give you an example about the flesh. That was how much time we got? We're going to have to wait for another week on prayer, huh?
That's right. Well, we left off last week. Just so you know. 2 weeks.
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, are you controlled by the Spirit or not? So I'm trying to convict the pastor. That's why we left off 2 weeks ago, you know. I'm going to pray for somebody to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, the thing that's really amazing is this. This guy lived in Alaska. He had a big white dog. He had a big black dog. Okay? Is this... What's your business life? You. Focus. Okay. Then he's got this, he got two big dogs. Big black dog, big white dog. And just by command, he can make them fight. He would come to town once a month. And when he would come to town, he had those dogs fight. And he never lost. He always knew. He would get all the bets. And he always knew which dog would win. And after about 10 years of coming to town, the dog got old, he got old, and he stopped coming to the town and making the dogs fight. So one day the guy asked him, said, did you ever know which dog was going to win? He says, I knew every week. He said, no way. He said, yeah. He said, that's how I always won. He says, you know, I never lost. I always left with money. He goes, yeah, we know. So how did you know? He said, it was easy. The dog I fed that week would win. He says, the week before I would come, I wouldn't feed the other dog. They were big old hairy dogs. So they wouldn't know that one had was, you know, weak and hadn't eaten. So what happens? The one that had eaten was stronger, feeling good, because he had eaten for 4 straight weeks. The other had only eaten for 3. Bam. The dog would win. He would leave. Guess what it comes to your flesh and your spirit? Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to win.
You know what I said you were just talking about a minute ago about being controlled? I just thought this, but Larry King had Susan's first husband on, and the husband of the lady that drowned the priest, I think it was the 5 kids in the tub.
Yeah.
And when he told Larry King, he said, I miss my kids, but I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
That was Pete.
Yeah.
He's a better man than I am.
Yeah.
I'd be the one with one full switch, but you know. But then he said this. He said that he had to talk to her about, because she had 40 years about going on with his life, and she was very receptive to that.
That was the difference.
It was opposite of
right.
David to David's guy. He said that when they wanted to take her out to go to the dentist or something, he said no.
So the major thing is this. As a believer, he can't move on. Right. If he loves his wife, she's not dead.
Right.
He sticks with her.
Right.
Now, see, that's true love. Now, I miss my kids. I love my wife. But you're in jail. I'm moving on. He just contradicted himself.
Right.
See? And that's where the Spirit comes in at with you and I. The Spirit will not allow you to convince yourself a wrong is right. You can come up with all explanation you want, but the Holy Spirit's sitting there going, you know it ain't right. You know it ain't right. Don't do that. That's whose role? Holy Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to let you get him out of his role? No. Okay? Someone read Romans 8:26, since, you know, I got 3 or 4 Holy Spirits in here. Yeah, bro, you got it? Listen real careful at this.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered.
What a lot of people do in a lot of churches, a lot of charismatic brothers, what they will tell us is, That groaning is the Holy Spirit speaking through us through tongues in the prayer language. At Romans 8. And if you read the verse, it can't be that. Why does most people believe the Bible? Because they don't know what it says. Now let's listen to what it says. Listen to what it says, and then I'm going to explain to you. Then we're going to break it down even more as we go through prayer next week. Yes, sir. Do it, bro.
Hopefully next week.
Don't get funny with me, man. I pray the Holy Spirit won't allow you to get blind and you won't be able to come back here. You're driving around trying to find this place.
You gotta find my good eye.
My eyes rolling on the floor. Wait till I pick it up. Read that again for me, bro. Okay? Listen, now we're gonna walk through it and see what the verse says. See if the verse is saying that this is a prayer language that the Holy Spirit will pray through you. These are the verses they use. Because they say, it prays with utterances that you cannot be spoken. Well, wait a minute.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses.
It helps in our weaknesses.
For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought.
We do not know how to pray rightfully at things and times where and how God wants us to pray.
But the Spirit himself makes intercession.
Now, the Spirit himself does what? Intercedes. He don't pray through you. He doesn't use your voice. So listen to what it says. See, he says, now if I'm going to intercede for you, do I use your voice? Or do I use mine? If I intercede for you, are you praying or am I praying? So the verse is saying that he's not praying through you or using your voice. He intercedes for spiritual groanings only he and God can understand. You want me to see what it means? Let me give you a quick explanation of how that works. Yeah. You ready? Okay, get it. Here you go. You pray. Lord, I can't do it anymore. I can't handle it anymore. Boom. The prayer takes off to God. Holy Spirit takes off running. Intercept that prayer. Brings it down. Rearranges it. By the time it gets to God, it's going, God, I don't want to live for you anymore. I don't want this Christian life. It's too hard. Can't hear you. Oftentimes we pray words that we're saying, but that's not what we mean. Lord, I just want you to know I am extremely happy being single as a single woman for you. Boogity, 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 boogity. The prayer starts, Holy Spirit takes off, intercepts it, brings it down, rearranges it. By the time it gets to God, it says, God, if I don't pray this way, I can't believe some of them ugly women that's married and I'm not. Can't hear you. Yeah, that is.
I doubt it.
Come on, talk to me, girl. Ah, here comes the other guy. Lord, I'm just tired. I'm tired. I want to live for you. Boogie, 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 boogie. The prayer takes off. Holy Spirit runs, grabs it, brings it down, rearranges it. By the time it gets to God, it says, God, I wish I had a body like Hutch. Nah, I'm just joking on that. I'm just joking on that. No, don't take two more. Here comes the guy right here. The guy goes, Lord, I just want you to know, anything you want to bring my way, I've committed my life to you. Boogie, 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 the Holy Spirit takes off right. Grabs that prayer, poof, grabs it down, rearranges it. By the time it gets to God, it says, Lord, you know I want that Mercedes, because if I got that Mercedes Benz, women is going to look at me when I come back, because that's the man's makeup. Now, we said all these words, right? Now, listen, we said all these words. We don't mean those prayers. And guess who understands you don't mean that prayer? You pray, God, just kill me. Boogity, 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 boogity. Intercept that prayer, come down, God, I am sick and tired of being in this type of life. If God said, you really meant kill me, you'll be the first one to start saying, nah, I didn't mean that. And every time he brings some rough stuff come along, you know, Holy Spirit grabs that. Oh, that's not what I mean. So by the time it gets, he tells what's in your heart. He prays, he intercedes for that prayer that you're trying to send to God that you're not saying. He intercedes, breaks it down, tells God what you really mean, because no one knows the Spirit like the Spirit. No one knows the Spirit of God like the Spirit, like the mind of God, like the Spirit of God. No one knows the mind of man like the God Spirit who indwells you, who helped make you. He intercedes with groanings that you didn't say. So when someone says that means a prayer language, they are using the Bible and saying what the Bible never said. And there's thousands of people walking around being taught wrong about a spiritual prayer language. And we're going to break that down totally next week. Hopefully, by next week, if you pray, I'm controlled by the Spirit of God next week, we can start where we're supposed to start it this week, but I have to go back over my fantastic teaching of last week to get it on tape. Now, tonight, you know what God's going to do? This thing probably didn't work again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to come to this class and get together. Thank you for those that are new, and we pray, Father, that you would bless them as much as they have blessed us with their presence. May your word be true. In Jesus' name, amen.